This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The White House said this week it's going to look into the potential of offshore wind energy development smack dab in the middle of all that oil and gas production in the Gulf of Mexico. The Biden administration is calling for as many as 2,000 of those giant turbines in American waters by 2030. Construction of the first commercial-scale offshore wind project in the United States off the coast of Massachusetts got the green light back in March. But as Marketplace's Andy Eula reports, that project and those still waiting to be approved are not without their challenges.
That almost $3 billion wind farm, about 14 miles from Martha's Vineyard, will reportedly generate some 800 megawatts of electricity, enough to power about 400,000 homes. Now, to put that into perspective, the two existing offshore wind farms in the U.S., near Virginia and Rhode Island, together produce only 42 megawatts of electricity.
It feels like it's starting to arrive.
Costa Samaras teaches civil and environmental engineering at Carnegie Mellon University. He says the potential for offshore wind in the U.S. is just massive.
The Department of Energy estimated that the U.S. could install about 86,000 megawatts of offshore projects by 2050. Like, we can go out and build this first 2, 3, 4 tranches of offshore wind, see how things are going and come back to it, and still have more to go back to.
The federal government and states are upping the ante, many offering tax incentives and subsidies to get these projects moving forward. But even once an energy company comes up with the cash to get started, it's still got a lot of problems to solve. There's pushback from folks who say it'll mess up their view of the water. The Pentagon has warned that wind farms could interfere with the tracking of tropical storms, air surveillance, and radar. Environmentalists worry about what turbines will do to biodiversity. And then there's the fishing industry.
You know, there is sort of a fundamental disconnect between fisheries and offshore wind at the end of the day.
Annie Hawkins is executive director of the Responsible Offshore Development Alliance. It has a track record of fighting offshore wind projects and includes hundreds of fishing groups.
They are competing for the same ocean space. And so there is always going to be something of a spatial conflict, something of a question of displacement.
Hawkins' group is pushing for the feds to spend more money on impact studies before issuing more permits. But even after projects are okay, there's another obstacle: getting those huge wind farms built.
Any massive infrastructure projects takes logistics, but, you know, offshore wind is a whole nother level.
That's Joshua Rhodes at the University of Texas at Austin. He says building any wind farm is difficult, but at least when you do it on land,
you can have areas where you can put down all of your blades, you can put down your towers, you can, you know, have places for steel and other things and wire and all the stuff you'll need. And they're called laydown yards, and they're even, you know, spelled out in contracts for leasing of land.
But when you try to build a wind farm on the water, that's just way more complicated and more expensive.
It costs a lot more money to have a ship sitting there with a bunch of stuff on it or moving stuff back and forth than it is just a bit of land. So, I mean, it is a, you know, more of a logistics challenge.
Another challenge that's limiting the quick development of offshore wind, U.S. law. The Jones Act requires that any ship that travels from a U.S. port to anywhere within the country, including its waters, has to be made and registered in the U.S. And it also has to be owned and staffed by Americans.
If we're going to, you know, have a thriving offshore wind industry in the U.S., we're either going to have to carve out an exemption for that, or we're going to have to build those ships here in the U.S. because they're going to make a lot of calls to American ports.
Rhodes says on the positive side, the Jones Act could be a boon to the U.S. shipbuilding industry. Some energy companies have already commissioned $500 million ships being built in Brownsville, Texas, specifically to serve the offshore wind industry. But those vessels won't be done for another couple of years. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.